God of our forebears, who paved the way for our being in this place, help us now to give up complacency, truly love one another, and hunger and thirst after righteousness. As we come to you, may your bread of heaven and cup of salvation feed our souls with peace and unspeakable joy. In the name of God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. John Steinbeck's 1939 masterful novel, The Grapes of Wrath, told the gripping tale of a migrant family struggling to survive the ravages of the Great Depression, and more specifically, the Dust Bowl of the 1930s. In this writing, the Joad family wisely leaves Oklahoma and heads for the golden promises of California. While all is not golden in California, the novel is a testament to the human spirit for survival. One very poignant section of the novel highlights hunger. A man and his two boys famished, looking for bread. Steinbeck writes, "The man took off his dark-stained hat and stood with a curious humility in front of the screen. Could you see your way to sell us a loaf of bread, ma'am?" May said, "This ain't a grocery store. We got bread to make sandwiches." "I know, ma'am." His humility was insistent. "We need bread, and there ain't nothing for quite a piece," they say. "If we sell bread, we gonna run out." May's tone was faltering. "We're hungry," the man said. "Why don't you buy a sandwich? We got nice sandwiches, hamburgers." "We'd sure admire to do that, ma'am, but we can't. We got to make a dime do all of us." And he said embarrassingly, "We ain't got but a little." May said, "You can't get no loaf of bread for a dime. We only got 15-cent loaves." From behind her, Al growled, "God Almighty, May, give 'em bread." The man dug in his pouch with a forefinger, located a dime, and pinched in for it. When he put it down on the counter, he had a penny with it. He was about to drop the penny back into the pouch when his eye fell on his boys, frozen before the candy counter. He pointed in the case at big long sticks of striped peppermint candy. "Is them penny candy, ma'am?" "Well, no, them's two for a penny." "Well, give me two then, ma'am." The boys reached timidly. Each took a stick, and they held them down at their sides and did not look at them. But they looked at each other, and their mouth corners smiled rigidly with embarrassment. Here Steinbeck paints a vivid picture of an essential aspect for survival, eating. Although most of us will never experience real hunger like this family, we can all appreciate the gratification, the sheer comfort that our body experiences when we have a meal, especially if it has been a long time since our last one. Like the boys knowing the delights of peppermint, we too experience the pleasure of food's good taste and bodily strength from sustenance. When we have not eaten, we know the anguish, the fear, the irritability, and Lord knows I get irritable, that is experienced in our bodies. Conversely, when we eat a meal, we experience a comfort that warms our inside, a feeling of completeness. Last week, Father Phil preached that very familiar passage about food, the feeding of the 5,000 plus with fish and bread. Today, John's gospel follows that story with members of the same crowd talking with Jesus the next day. Jesus has a conversation with this crowd who finds him in Capernaum, the town near Galilee, the place of Jesus' ministry. And they start questioning Jesus. When did you come here? Jesus uses this opportunity to invite the crowd to go deeper. He says, "You ate this bread, you liked it, but it is physical and will not last you." The 27th verse reads, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life." Here they are confused. They do not quite get Jesus. What must we do to perform the work of God? Jesus says, "I am that work of God." But this is not the sharpest crowd, because they question him again and say, "What sign are you going to give us?" Sign? Hello? The feeding of the 5,000? What work are you doing? Why should we believe in you? They turn to their history. Our ancestors ate manna, food in the wilderness. Jesus quickly says that it was not Moses, but God gives the true bread. The true bread that comes down. Now they have this strong desire for this bread, for it to be lasting. It is here that Jesus engages them in metaphorical theology, and they are having a difficult time getting there. I think that this happens to us as well. We are often looking for a sign as we think that it should happen. And we say that God does not hear us. Jesus is not standing with us. Maybe, just maybe, we are not understanding what God is telling us or showing us. Like these people, Jesus is inviting us to go beyond the literal and try this new thing that is being done in our midst, as was stated so beautifully by our rector last Sunday. Jesus represents the bread that the people understand is needed for strength, survival, and life. Jesus tells them, "I am the bread of life." This message has been passed from generation to generation, and we hear Jesus today saying to us, "I am the bread of life." It is an all-inclusive invitation for each of us, just as it was for the people gathered in Capernaum. "Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever comes to me will never be thirsty." Throughout the ages and practically throughout the world, bread is the foundation from which the meal emerges. Here, Jesus taps into this universal staple of bread, knowing that bread is understood as connected to the lifeline. Now, as I prayed and prepared for this sermon, I did not forget my social location of Berkeley. I could hear my sisters and brothers reminding me of the celiac sufferers who cannot eat bread, are those who choose not to eat, for health purposes, the gluten protein in bread. So for those of you here at All Souls this morning with this sensitivity, I have good news. Jesus is gluten-free. As we are conscious of nutrition for our physical bodies, our spiritual nutrition is whole when we pray for God's presence in our lives. Remain responsive to the gospel. Love God and those around us with the love that we have for ourselves. Perhaps no other group understands the need for bread and proper nutrition for the body's strength and function than athletes. Like me, most of you have been spellbound in awe watching the Olympians in London do with their bodies what seems impossible. Through discipline, focus, and hard work, sisters and brothers from all over the world show us that our bodies can do wonders. From the tall, lean, white boy from Baltimore who mastered the ways of the sea world and has become the most decorated Olympian in history, to the 16-year-old young woman from the shores of Virginia Beach who literally soared into the history books as the first African-American gymnast to win a gold medal in the all-around individual, they remind us of the life and wonder and strength that we may obtain in our physical, emotional, and mental health and our spiritual life in Jesus. He is bread for the world, the comfort food, the soul food that gives us life. He may come in many forms, but he is still the bread of life. He is the one for us if we just believe. He is the bread of life, our daily bread. In a few minutes, we will gather around this table to eat bread, gluten and gluten-free. Bread, food that gives new life. We will gather here with our many differences, our different journeys, our different stories, our different challenges, identities, hopes and dreams, and stand as one with one bread, one body. This cracked bread, formed from the wheat gathered from the wind-blown wheat fields, symbolic of a Jesus who suffered in this life so that we might have a better one. And as the bread is broken, let it be a reminder of the broken body of Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice on Calvary, an expression of love that is beyond words. Jesus is the bread of life that keeps us from day to day, from time to eternity. Regardless of whether your joy overflows today or you are battling depression and not at all at the place where you want or even need to be, always remember that Jesus is standing near. If you are like the man in the grapes of wrath, hungry, burdened, and poor in spirit, God has given you bread. If you eat this bread, you will not hunger. For over and over in your times of need, you will be filled from knowing this love, this grace, this peace that makes you complete. So come to this table, eat this bread, and leave restored to new life.